Mr. Andrew Cogliano. Cogs, thanks for joining us today, buddy. I appreciate it.
No problem, Stuart. Thanks for having me.
Good. Well, Cogs, I know you're a busy guy. You're traveling and going on. And, you know, this is kind of story time. We kind of go back to think about a player's journey. I know your journey is not done, but you've had an incredible career so far. But let's go back to when you were just a young guy in Toronto. How was hockey introduced to you?
I kind of followed my brother. My brother started at a young age. And, as any Canadian kid, I think you get into it early. And, my brother was, the guy that kind of showed me the way and followed him. I was always a guy that kind of played hockey in the winter and then played soccer in the summer. And, as I got older and kept playing, I was one of those kids that obviously was pretty talented and took it to the next level. But, when I started, it was for fun. That's all it was for. And, my dad and my brother got me into it. And, I was gifted with some good skating ability. I thought that was always something I was gifted with early. And, it's something that I continue to work on and get better at. And I ended up where I was.
Well, it's been an amazing career in Cogs. I think, there's always a lot of families listening to our show. And maybe talk about the type of support you had from, your brother, but then your mom and dad as you kind of worked through your minor hockey days out in Toronto.
Yeah, I think, my parents were always, advocates of me playing sports and being an athlete. I think that's one thing that, they pushed on me in terms of, but I think one thing they kind of wanted me to introduce me was always in team sports. That was, I always was involved with teams and, and playing with friends. And, I think my dad was pretty smart at a young age. When I was young, he always made me play a little bit up in age groups. Knowing that, I was talented, so he kind of put me in when I was younger, in a year and 2 years older. And, I think it developed me because I was playing against older guys, and older kids. But, they gave me all the advantages as much as possible and put me in things to get me better. But, like I said, they attempted to make me a good athlete and get me in team sports. I think that was the biggest thing that they wanted to do.
John Bango Congan, a longtime NHLer now with the San Jose Sharks. Cogs, you play for the St. Michael Buzzers, and then you choose, or how does it come about? Do you choose to go to NCAA with Michigan rather than the Ontario Hockey League, which I'm sure you would have options on both sides?
Yeah, I was going to St. Mike's for school, so at that time the Junior B or Junior A, whatever it was called, was a good league. They had a lot of older players that were playing, and I knew the coach really well. So, when near the end of my minor hockey, we would go down and watch college teams play, especially Michigan. And, whenever I went down, it was just something that kind of resonated with me. And I liked the idea of being a student athlete. And, I just loved watching the games and the atmosphere of going to school and being a college athlete. And I don't know, I think it was something that I just wanted to do. And I made my mind up around 15 years old. And, I had teams calling me in terms of the OHL. I think, that year, there was a bunch of guys that kind of, I think Saginaw Spirit was like an expansion team. And, no one really wanted to go there, to be honest, like their first year. And I know they called me to be the first overall pick, but once I gave my word to Michigan, I committed. I kind of stuck with that, and I stayed true to my word of going there and when I committed. So, I think it worked out good for me. I think I played good junior A where I went to school, and then was able to go to a really just good school, obviously.
Well, Michigan's a great school. What was it like when you arrived in there? I mean, it's a huge school. It's got a pretty good history, and I know there's some pretty good coaches as well, including the legendary Red Berenson.
Yeah, it's very, very well done there. It's a very big school. I think there's 40,000 kids that go there. It was good for me because it was 4 hours away from home. So my parents came down and watched games and could visit. But that was awesome. I think, at a young age when you're moving out and, you know, you're pretty excited to go to college, and you know, you live in the dorms with the guys, and you know, you start playing hockey and you're working out, and you're in a big time school like that. I think it was pretty special. You know, when we went down in August or September, you know, the football starts, so you go to games and you get involved in the tailgating before our season, and you know, I think it was pretty cool. Like I know Junior, and I think there's, you know, great qualities playing in the WHL and the OHL, but you know, the experience you get in college in terms of being a student athlete and the football and you know, moving away when you're 18 and you know, able to do that and have a lot of fun and play hockey, I think, you know, there was nothing better in my eyes.
Cox, what's it like having to balance the academics with what would be, I'm guessing, a pretty intense practice and workout schedule for the hockey team?
Yeah, you know what, I think you know, they give you all the resources at schools like that. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, I'm not going to lie, I wasn't the smartest guy, I think, but I worked hard and I was able to I was able to keep my grades. You know, I was always a guy in school that I always worked hard. You know, I was always a guy that you know, I never had the A's, but, you know, B's across the board, not bad either, right? So, you know, when I went there, they give you all the resources. You know, it's a pretty special it's a pretty special thing when you go to a school like that, the academics, the facilities. You know, you basically get all the help you can need and you want. So, and, you know, I think that's the best part of it. You know, you wake up, you go to your classes, and then you go to practice. And, you know, I think that was always the most enjoyable thing. I always remember, you know, I always used to have classes that kind of finished early, and I don't know why, but I always planned it where I wanted kind of a couple hours before practice, so I'd get there about 3 hours before. And I always remember getting to the rink, and where our change stalls were, you could see the sauna. And every time I'd come in, I'd look right and I'd see Red Berenson. And Red Berenson was like, I don't even know what he was at the time, maybe 60 years old at the time, but he was in great shape. And he'd always be in the sauna working out. He'd be doing weight and he'd be doing push-ups in the sauna. And every you know, there'd be a couple of times where he'd come out in his towel, and he's a pretty, like, pretty, you know, great presence to him, and he's a big man, and yeah, you know, he's been there forever and so much history in terms of who he is. And he'd always look at me being like, what, why are you always the first one here, and what are you doing? We're on your classes, right? So finally I had to take my class sheet to him to show him I wasn't skipping class and I was just planning it properly so I'd get there early to do my stuff at the rink. But it was pretty cool. I think that's, you know, Red Berenson was a pretty special guy and a pretty special coach to play for.
You know, I've heard the guys always talk about, as they're joined by Andrew Calgano, a longtime NHLer, talked about Red Berenson, and he really prepares them to be a good person, but ready for, if they choose to go into a professional career, they're ready. What impact did he have on you? Because from your first year to second year, you know, your points almost jumped. For sure your goals did as well.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like with Red, I think, you know, with that type of program, I think, you know, when I came out a junior, I was obviously, you know, a first-round pick and, you know, pretty talented. So, you know, I think they do a really good job there of, you know, if you're a skilled guy and you're a talented guy, you're going to play top 6 minutes and you're going to develop in those roles and you're going to get better, and they're going to push that on you. So I think that's what happened. I think I came out, I had a pretty good first year. You know, I fell behind kind of in terms of, like, the depth. I was kind of on the third line. And then, you know, in the second year, I was kind of you know, I was in the second line playing with some good players and played power play. And so I think in their school there, they really want to develop high-end players. And I think you see that now. You know, they have some really quality players there now, you know, at fourth, whatever, first round picks in the first five picks. So, you know, I think they've really tried to push that. And I think I was kind of the start of that. My couple years was what they tried to do for that.
Joined by Andrew Calgano. You know, when you look at it, that last year, obviously, had a fantastic year in college. You know, at what point in that season, did your parents or your agent, do you start looking ahead towards what would be, you know, exciting time in any young hockey player's life, the draft, specifically for you, the 2005 NHL draft?
Yeah, you know what, like, you know, I think the draft was a pretty cool time. I kind of got a little bit screwed with the draft because it was that year, it was after the lockout, so they kind of did a small draft. And they did it kind of in a hotel. So I ended up not going because I wasn't sure where I would be picked. So, you know, I kind of missed out on that in terms of being drafted and having that. But, you know, after the second year, you know, you really have to start looking a little bit ahead. And you got to start, you know, seeing what the ultimate plan would be. And, you know, after that year, Edmonton, I think they had a bad year. And they approached me about coming out and turning pro. And in my eyes, that was the ultimate opportunity when you get a call from a team and it presented itself. And I kind of just, you know, took the chance and went for it.
Do you think that the Pittsburgh Penguins regret taking Sidney Crosby first overall rather than Andrew Cogliano?
Maybe not them, but you know what? I bet there's a couple teams. I think I've done pretty well for myself, so you know maybe there's a few teams that regret it. Eh?
You know, absolutely no, Cogs. I remember when, and we'll get to when we played together. But you know, when I look at you and look at all the players that drafted that year, you've been such an Iron Man and played so many games. And you know, you try to place value on a player when they're drafted, and to get you know over 1,000 games and almost you know completely always playing the game, you know, it's pretty impressive for you. And I'm sure you know you're not done yet. You've got some years ahead of you for sure. But you know, just the consistency provided teams. You know, what kind of pride or where did that come from to be a guy that I can be counted on night in, night out to play and then play the same way?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I don't know. Like, I think I've always loved the game. I've always loved preparing for it. I've always loved the things that, you know, are tough to do consistency-wise. And, you know, I think I learned some valuable lessons in Edmonton. You know, I think near the third, fourth year, I started really, you know, kind of figuring out how I needed to play in terms of to have success. And once I did that, you know, it was kind of a recipe for being valuable and being a player that needed to be counted on for, you know, every single night. And once you get that feeling and when you start to feel that and you start to feel that you're on a team that they need in you and they depend on you and you help teams win, you know, it's a great feeling. So I think that's why it always pushed me to push myself to continue doing that. And like I said, I think consistency is so key in the league. When you're consistent, I think, you know, coaches appreciate it. I think players appreciate it. And ultimately, you play on good teams because you do the same thing every night, and it's tough to do that in the NHL. So I've always been driven. I think that's one thing I can give myself credit for is I've always been driven, and I've never taken shortcuts. And maybe because I've done that, I've been able to do what I've been able to do.
Let's take a quick pause for John Badenew, Kyle Gallon. When we come back, we'll get into his time with the Oilers and all the way through the NHL. Still up to now with the San Jose Sharks. In discussion with Andrew Kyle Gallon, this is Story Time on the Jason Greger Show. I'm Jason Strutter, he's Connor Halley, and you're listening to TSN 1260. All right, we're back. Thanks for joining us today on the Jason Greger Show. My name is Jason Strudwick, taking you right through to 6 o'clock. And right now in story time, we're joined by NHLer of over 1,000 NHL games, Andrew Cogliano. And Cogs, you know, when you came through the Oilers, you know, very offensive-minded player, had been offensive through his whole career. But I got the sense that, and you kind of touched on it just before the break, you started to think that maybe I got to be, a well-rounded player, still bring the offense, but being a well-rounded player so I can fit into that. Kind of that middle six in a comfortable way. Was there any one moment or game or conversation with a coach or a teammate that kind of led you to get to kind of maybe that mindset?
Yeah, I think a few conversations. I think Hork, I remember Sean Horkoff talking to me about it and talking to me about penalty kill. And you know, he was one guy that really, you know, helped me, you know, understand that when you bring things to a team that our consistency and you know a thing like penalty kill and easy things like that and not easy but you know things like defensive zone coverage, when you pay attention to those details, you know, the things that could get you, you know, you could play a long time for. So you know, he was one guy that kind of opened my eyes to that. You know what, I think that last year, that fourth year, you know, Tom Rennie and Ralph Krueger were the coaches, and I remember having a conversation with Ralph where, you know, he just said, you know, I think you're a guy that You know, I know you came out as an offensive guy, but, you know, the more kind of defensive awareness and that two-way game you play, you know, the longer career you might have, and I think it's going to be more valuable for you. And, you know, I took that advice, and I, you know, I think that's one thing I think in this league that you really have to understand is when people give you advice or trying to help you, and you have to take it and you have to be responsive to that. And I think I'm glad I was at the time. And I actually feel like that fourth year I had a really good year in Edmonton. I started to play kind of that game, and I started to figure it out on that side of the puck. And then I went to Anaheim, and I kind of took off with it. So, you know, maybe in hindsight, maybe it was unfortunate that, you know, I was traded right after I kind of started to open my eyes to that. But, you know, I know you can get blamed for that and not having that mindset earlier in your career. But, you know, sometimes it's not easy to think like that right when you come out of college. You know, I think when guys come out of junior in college and they're offensive, they're trying to be offensive. But it might take a few years to figure out that, you know, you're not in the top 10-20% of the talent in the league, and you got to do other things to make yourself better.
Andrew Cogliano joins us. And Cogs, you know, there's a big kind of controversy going on around this show regarding Tom Gilbert and a game that he and I played together in New York. Your last year in Edmonton, my last year in Edmonton. Probably, you know, many people say I should have never played after that game. Maybe Tom shouldn't either. But let me just refresh your memory. We're playing in New York, and I'm -4 at this point. So is Tom Gilbert, our alleged number one defenseman. He comes around the net and goes a pizza up the middle. Now, I wasn't sure, because it happened so quickly. I thought it was Hawaiian, but Tom said it was pepperoni. And right onto the stick of Marian Gaborik. Marian Gaborik buries in the net. I pick up my fifth minus of the game. I didn't play for a month after that game. A month. Now, you know, you were part of the team. Do you remember, was there controversy? Was it my fault or Tom's fault? Or what are your recollection of my minus, Tom Gilbert and I -5 at Madison Square Garden with Marian Gaborik? I think he had 16 goals that game, Cogs.
You know what? I don't remember that play, but I remember you chasing him on a break. I remember we always used to make jokes. You could have chased him in New Jersey, you wouldn't have caught him. You know what? Honestly, that's one building. That's one building. Everyone talks about MSG, and they talk about the history and going there, how amazing it is. And I say every time, every time I walk in that building, I leave being -3. I don't know what it is, but it just... It's some terrible memories playing in that building. I don't know why. It started with Edmonton.
Oh, that's so funny. I remember after I couldn't play, I didn't play for a week after that game, then it's 2 weeks, then it's 3 weeks. I remember I was like, I've been through lockouts, I've been through injuries, expansion drafts, but no one brought me down like Tom Gilbert single-handedly. Ruined my career. He ruined my career. Oh my God. It was so funny. Like, I got to get Gibby on to talk about it because I've never had him on, and I thrash him all the time about this. But I mean, I probably shouldn't have been in the NHL that year, but there I was. I was like a player coach. But oh man, you know what? That team, it was funny. Like, you know, we had some up and downs, but there was a lot of characters. Like, two of your best buddy, maybe Gags and Nielsen. Maybe talk about those two guys and Gibby, because it seemed like you guys are always together.
Yeah, you know what, honestly, like, I will say, like, you know, there was some tough moments and there was tough times, but it was probably the best memories of my career, you know, playing those years. And, you know, Bobby was such a character, and you know, he was so funny to be around. And I've never seen a talent. I've played with so many guys, and I still think Bobby's probably the most talented guy I've ever played with. Just pure, you know, talent with the puck and making plays. And, you know, we used to do a game after practice all the time where we'd stand below the goal line in the corner, and you'd have to try to score, like, bounce the puck into the net or roll the puck into the net. You know, I'd be shooting out of the zone pretty much, and Bobby would do it, and he'd flick it around, and he'd flick it off his toe, and you'd see this thing just roll into the net. You know, but he was just, like, phenomenal. But I'll never forget Bobby. He'd always sit beside me in the room, and before games, I'd hear him slapping his legs. He'd be slapping his legs, and I'd be like, what are you doing? And he would try to wake them up, and there'd be so many games where he'd look over and be like, not tonight, Cox. We don't have a tonight. There's nothing to do tonight. And I'd say, we haven't even warmed up yet. What are you talking about? So it's like, this guy, you got your line mate, who's like, could be the most talented guy in the league, and he'd be looking over and tell me for a warm-up, he's got nothing in them tonight. And I'm like, oh, my God.
He was hilarious.
But you couldn't get mad at him, eh? You couldn't get mad at him because he was so fun to be around, and like, I just think he was like the opposite of me. He was like the opposite. He was like he was a little carefree. And he was a guy that just like went with the flow. And I was like so regimented that I think that's what I get drawn to is guys like him because they're opposites of me, right? So he was awesome.
He was so funny. I remember going golfing in some of those terms. He'd come in completely hungover with a huge dip on, just walk up to the first tee with flip-flops and just like nut it, like crush it, you know, like right on. Like he was just, his hands were so talented. Like you talk about his talent. I think he was underappreciated how skilled he was.
Yeah, just like he's one of those guys when you play with, and whenever he had it or he was playing well, like he just made things happen out there. Mm-hmm. You know, he just made things happen, right? But no, he was like, and he just like lived life and he was like, have fun. And oh man, he was just the perfect guy to be around. So.
Yeah, funny guy. Cogs, you know, you do get traded. You touched on it a little bit. You get traded down to Randy Carlyle with the Anaheim Ducks, and you run into guys like Getzlaff and Solani and these types of guys. A team that just had a pretty good run, you know, pretty good team run as a team. You know, was it a pretty big transition there as far as just kind of seeing how those guys prepare? Maybe a team that's won? Not that the guys were any worse than Edmonton, just a team that had been a bunch of winners at one point.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I think getting traded to them was, you know, it was pretty cool. Like, I think they had a really good team. The first year didn't go as well. You know, Randy got fired, but it seemed like it was something that was brewing from what I understand. So, you know, it's kind of like a little rocky to start. And for me, it was a little tough, too. Like, I'm not used to change. I'm not used to kind of, you know, I don't love change. So I think when I went, it took me kind of a year to kind of get going. But, you know, I remember playing they moved me to the wing that year, and I played with Koivu and Solani. And I remember being like, holy cow, these guys are, you know, playing with those guys was just phenomenal. You know, Timo at that time was like, literally, whenever you were on the ice with him, something was happening. He was so good. And that was kind of the first year I started playing wing. So, you know, it was something that I kind of got introduced with Saku, and who was a solid centerman. And it made things really easy for me. But I never forget my first day there, or like first or second day. I was pulling into the rink, and I see a Ferrari in the far right side of the rink, you know, doing donuts in the corner. And I'm like, who the heck is that? And all of a sudden, like, Timo comes flying out. He's doing donuts in his Ferrari in the far side of the rink parking lot. Comes in. He's got, like, golden bronze tan, and, you know, he just threw his gear on, and it was something like I've never forgotten because, you know, you look at a guy that's played so long and had so much fun and was enjoyable to be around. And you know, I learned a lot from him, but it was so fun to see a guy that having so much fun playing.
Joined by Andrew Cagliano, talking about his long, great career, still has years ahead of him for sure. What about Ryan Getzlaff? You know, he's a guy that I sure respected as a player. And you know, as a captain, as a leader, and just as a player, what did you see from him and maybe you didn't know as a player that played against him for many years before that?
Yeah, you know what? He just had so much presence. He was just a guy that you could tell that, you know, other teams didn't like playing against him, and he kind of created a culture of, you know, I think in Anaheim, I think why we had a lot of success is I think, you know, guys like Getz and Pears and, you know, they created a little bit of an atmosphere of like a pack mentality, and it seemed like we always had kind of some tough guys, and we had guys that played hard and stuck up for each other, and I think it went a long way. I think it made us a good team. It made the morale of the room really strong. It made a lot of camaraderie. And those guys created that. And I think maybe they learned that from that Stanley Cup team with Niedermeyer and Pronger. And, you know, they got a chance to kind of learn from really good leaders. But, you know, they had a solid room there. And I was really fortunate to be there with them.
drum manager Cogliano. And you know, Cogs, you move on to Dallas, and you guys, you know, the 2 years ago had an amazing run right through to the final. Maybe take us through that that journey. A unique year for sure to, with what went on with COVID. But you know, that did you see what that the makings of that type of the way you guys played hard, tight defense and hard to play against all year long?
Yeah, no, I think we really kind of came into our own as the season went on, you know. You know, we just played hard and we played the right way, and we had some good talent, and we had some guys kind of play above themselves in that playoff run. But, you know, it sucks. I think the one thing I'll take from that, the Stanley Cup, you know, in the bubble thing is, you know, we never quit. Our team, you know, we were very mentally tough in a really tough situation. You know, I think, you know, there was times where we could have, you know, packed it in or you know, didn't want to be there, but we kept pushing. And I think that speaks to the guys we had on our team, speaks to the coaching staff and the mindset we had. And it was pretty special. So, you know, it's tough to take a lot from it in terms of the energy of playing in buildings that are packed and the fans and real playoff hockey. But I think what I'll take from it is, you know, how we grinded and we stuck with it and we pushed to the end. And you know, we played a good team. We played Tampa in the finals. We lost some guys to injury. We lost, you know, Fax and Como and Hintz. And we lost some big guys in the finals that really would have helped us. And we fell short. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think we're all proud of you know, doing what we did in a really tough situation that kind of, you know, ultimately sucked being in a bubble like that. So,
and just to follow up on that, you know, your coach was you know, changed halfway through the year, and Rick Bowness takes over. Well, what did Bones? You know, I had him actually my first year in the NHL, you know, a few years ago for sure. But what did he bring that seemed to maybe kind of get that team, just get you guys believe in yourselves in a little different way than the previous regime?
Yeah, I think he just came in and kind of was able to, you know, rally us a bit. And you know, he's a really, really nice guy, a really nice man that has been around a while and has respect to the guys. And I think guys just played hard for him. And I think that's sometimes what you see when teams have success. You see a team that just play hard for the coach because they're pulling for them, and there's a mutual respect there. And I think that's what happened. I felt like our system was so in place that, you know, there wasn't really much to talk about in terms of the system. It was more, you know, just playing the right way and playing hard and pushing ourselves to the max, and he was able to do that. So he deserves a lot of credit for that.
And one last one for you, Cogs. I've joined by Andrew Calgano, a veteran of almost 1,100 NHL games. You know, this summer, a free agency came, and you've now moved to San Jose Sharks. You know, what, you know, you've changed teams now a couple of times. You know, I often do with a long career, most people do. You know, you're bringing a veteran leadership. What are you kind of expecting from yourself and your group as you head towards what is your, you know, 12th or 13th NHL season?
Yeah, you know what, you know, this is the first year I was a UFA, which was, I don't know, it's kind of weird, I guess. I guess I've been very fortunate to keep signing with teams. But, you know what, San Jose, they you know, and they had a lot of, like I said, interest. And, you know, they wanted me, you know, pretty badly. So I think when I look at that, I think in the situation of being an unrestricted free agent, I think it's important to go to a team that really wants you and sees a plan for you and sees a fit. So, you know, that's why I ultimately went there. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. I think they struggled last year. They didn't make the playoffs. You know, I think at the end of the day, I think the Pacific Division, I think, you know, there's spots in the playoffs up for grabs. I think there's some really good teams like Vegas and Edmonton, and then you get a bunch of other solid teams that are going to fight for that last spot and fight to get in the playoffs. So I think we'll be in there. I think there'll be young players I'll be able to help, and hopefully those younger players help me as well. But looking forward to it and new experience, and I think that's something I'm going to enjoy.
Cogs, I really appreciate your time, and you know, some of the funny stories that we shared were absolutely awesome. Good luck this season. We'll be watching. I'm sure we'll catch up with you as the season gets rolling here in short order.
Perfect, Strud. Thanks, man.